hour of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. The fall movie season has a distinctly different feel than what just came before it, the summer movie season, and it also feels a lot different than the holiday blockbuster season that's still to come this year. Film contributor Dave Lurson joins our Dan Harmon to give us a peek into what will soon be coming to a theater near you.
After a summer dominated by Dumb and Dumber movies, many of them underperforming at the box office, fall offers relief to filmgoers starved for something smarter. Fall is also the season when bets start being made for Oscar contenders, given the Motion Picture Academy's notoriously short memory when it comes to movies released before Labor Day.
And there's plenty of offerings that are not Oscar contenders, but we will only discuss those if we have time later.
Right.
So are there some broad categories of Oscar contenders as usual, historical pieces or fantasy pieces, whatever?
It's almost weighed a little bit more toward one or two kinds of things than normal this year. There are 10 contenders that I've identified, and all but two of them, I believe, are based on true stories. Most of those are set either in the distant past or the recent past. There is one contender based on a award-winning stage play, and only one that's an original screenplay that's not drawn from some historical episode.
And which one is that?
That is Gravity, the George Clooney, Sandra Bullock astronaut movie about a problem as they're orbiting the Earth.
Sounds pretty. I don't know, average on paper when you describe it like that. So why is that an Oscar contender? Just because of the performances?
Performances, hopefully, the cast. George Clooney is a popular man around Hollywood, so he attaches his name to something. There'll be some attention to it. And I don't mean to make it sound banal. We haven't had a good astronauts lost in space movie for quite a while, I don't think.
At least a year.
Yeah.
Why do you mean to make it sound banal and boring? On paper, it doesn't sound like all that.
Well, it depends, I think, really on the performances of the two protagonists in this movie and how they deal with the catastrophe that faces them.
Can I just get the Hunger Games out of the way?
Right.
I'm not a big fan, but you say there might be some potential good performances in that.
Well, you know, the actress in that movie has gotten a lot of attention, Jennifer Lawrence, as the it girl of the second decade of the 21st century, basically. She's a very capable, talented person, seems to have both feet on the ground. The Hunger Games is a cultural phenomenon. The books were not maybe quite on the sales level of Harry Potter. But they are up there. They evidently have been quite inspirational to a lot of younger people. The first movie did well. The second movie will no doubt do well. And I will predict that she will be nominated for Best Actress.
Okay. You know we're taping this, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The Wolf of Wall Street, Leonardo DiCaprio, latest
well,
one?
Well, it's his fifth collaboration with Martin Scorsese. Those two really get along well together. This is one of those historical, based on a true story films, of which there are so many this fall. It's based on Jordan Belfort's memoir. He was a corrupt New York stockbroker convicted of securities fraud. Leo enacts his story.
All right. And there's two that caught me by surprise when we were talking about this beforehand. Thor, The Dark World, you think has some potential, and Ender's Game?
Well, not Oscar potential, but right. Both of them will probably do well at the box office. Thor was one of the big blockbuster films of a couple of summers ago, and Ender's Game has gotten a lot of publicity, not all of it positive, based on opinions of the author of the book. But the book was enormously popular in science fiction circles. The movie will probably do okay, at least, and maybe quite well.
And two more that I'm just not that familiar with, August and Captain Phillips.
Well, August, Osage County, that film.
Right.
It's Harvey Weinstein is behind that as one of the producers. It is a award-winning stage play, a Tony and a Pulitzer Prize. Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep star in it. It's a family, problem, drama, comedy, a married couple. One of them is an alcoholic. The other comes down with cancer. So it's got lots of potential to pull the heartstrings while not being too dire.
And what about Captain Phillips?
Captain Phillips, another based on a true story from recent history. It is Tom Hanks playing Captain Phillips, a captain skipper of a cargo ship hijacked by Somali pirates. So we have Tom Hanks at sea, and not confronted with a volleyball, as in one of his famous movies from about 10 years ago, but faced with the real possibility of death at the hands of pirates.
Is this the first movie about being captured by Somali pirates? I don't recall there being any others.
I believe it is, and it naturally the theme has potential. I mean, it's there used to be a lot of pirate movies back in the day.
Yeah.
And probably 20 years ago, if somebody had said, piracy would be on the rise again, we would have laughed at that. But it became a serious problem. Apparently, the increased naval patrols in the Indian Ocean have begun to turn the tide against the Somali pirates. But certainly, this was grabbing a great many headlines a few years ago. Europeans and Americans and other, people from around the world were being taken captive, held for ransom. So you can just see the dramatic possibilities here, why this would interest Hollywood.
The latest Benedict Cumberbatch movie, are you suggesting that he might be someone that is award-worthy, or the movie itself?
Well, he's actually in a couple of movies. The one that maybe is most striking is The Fifth Estate, also based on a true story set in recent historical times. It's based on the memoir by a disgruntled co-founder of WikiLeaks. Julian Assange has already, condemned it sight unseen as being a propaganda assault upon him. Benedict Cumberbatch has already been quoted as saying he's not afraid that his bank accounts are going to be wiped out by angry WikiLeaks supporters because he has his own army of online people who will cover his back.
Oh, boy. All right. There
Will be war in cyberspace over this one.
Well, is this movie going to be more of a phenomenon, or do you think it actually is some kind of Oscar contender?
No, I think it's an Oscar contender. Cumberbatch is, again, one of these rising figures. He was not put to particularly good use, I don't think, in the Star Trek movie that came out last summer. But he first caught my attention in the British TV series Sherlock, where he plays this kind of contemporary, highly eccentric Sherlock Holmes roaming the streets of London. He was superb in that, and I see him as having enormous potential.
All right. Well, Tom Hanks shows up again in something with Emma Thompson, Saving Mr. Banks.
Saving Mr. Banks, based on a true story and set in the past, actually, instead of 1964. I'm looking forward to this because it has to do with the production of the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater, Mary Poppins.
Oh.
And in the time of its release. Emma Thompson plays the Mary Poppins author, P.L. Travers. Tom Hanks plays Walt Disney. And as far as I can tell, there was some conflict between the two over how to interpret her work.
And George Clooney, Matt Damon in The Monuments Men.
The Monuments Men, based on a true story set in the past, has to do with a true-life Allied raid into Nazi-occupied Europe during the tail end of World War II to rescue an enormous cache of artwork stolen by the Nazis. The Nazis, the leading figures, were art lovers in their way, and they helped themselves to the museums of France and other countries that they occupied. And naturally, there was a great effort on the part of the U.S. and the Allies to secure these things before they could be destroyed or sold on the black market or otherwise vanish.
Is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty based on a true story?
It's a remake. A 1947 Danny Kaye film with Ben Stiller. It's kind of interesting that they would choose this. That was a very funny movie. Danny Kaye was one of the great comedians, and probably Ben Stiller maybe is trying to model himself after this, or maybe Danny Kaye was a childhood inspiration to him. I'm not sure what the thinking was behind this, and I don't think that too many people younger than me are familiar with the original. Unless you're an avid TCM viewer, and maybe you've seen it. So for most people who actually go out to movie theaters, multiplexes, and opening weekend, it'll be a whole new concept.
Do you think Ben Stiller, in this case, is going to get serious about comedy, if you can put it that way? Because he does have kind of a typecast, I would say, where it's a little more schlocky and just kind of fun-oriented? Is this a step up for him, do you think?
Well, it could be. If my theory behind the motivation of this is correct, I think he would want to fill those Danny Kaye shoes.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, I think that he has a future ahead of him. He's done well at the box office many times, and he probably will be one of the forces in comedy, and if you give him better material, I think he'll be quite good.
And there's a movie about Mandela. Is that something you think is going to be an Oscar contender or just something really worth seeing?
Hopefully it'll be worth seeing. It should be interesting. Oscar contender, it's not being talked about as such at the moment, but it could be, given the enormous acclaim of Nelson Mandela. He has been, you know, lingering in the news because of his health condition. So people have not forgotten about him. He was a pivotal figure in 20th century history, right up there with Martin Luther King and dealing with, highly charged racial issues. So there you would think would be a great built-in audience. And among the Academy members who like to reward serious movies about serious topics, It has some traction, I think.
Well, speaking of serious stuff, I wanted to ask you about Carrie, mm-hmm. the movie Carrie, which is it a remake of a remake? I seem to remember it being remade.
I believe that there was a TV movie here. I mean, there are those of us who would say we should pause a live interview and go to the IMDb and then take a look and find out right away. But mm-hmm. I think there was something after the 1970s classic Sissy Spacek movie. Sissy Spacek was in her late 20s when she played that part. The actress in the upcoming Carrie is actually age appropriate.
Okay.
So that's being used as a selling point.
I seem to remember another horror movie being remade not too long ago. And are they just running out of horror ideas? Why do we have to remake a classic, if you will?
Well, why remake anything that has a familiar title? I mean, a lot of people have heard of Carrie, whether they've seen the original movie or not, but somehow it's out there. And maybe there are these remakes that people have seen. People are sort of familiar with it. And Hollywood's mentality has been for a long time, you know, put a familiar name out there and people will come. It doesn't always work.
Didn't work for Footloose.
We could name countless examples. Bewitched, the movie. Mr. Ed, the movie. I mean, a whole plethora of popular 60s TV programs made into movies that flopped. But yet they persist in this because they have an apparent fear of new or original ideas.
All right, Dave, lots to see this fall. Thank you for coming back on.
Thank you.
Dave Larson is arts and entertainment editor for the Shepherd Express Weekly and author of its I Hate Hollywood column. He's also our monthly film contributor, and he talked with Dan Harmon. One last break, and in just a moment, why Detroit? Detroit might be worth your next road trip. Detroit, even as some are quick to write it off. Keep listening. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.